Okay, let me back up a little bit in my notes. We've been looking at, we saw, of course, in verses 1 and 2, the army or the introduction. Number 2, the alarm, verses 3 and 4. And we got in well into verse number 4. Remember, in verse 4, Jude quickly identified the enemy. He's in the first, or actually in the second part, 4b, they were ungodly. They had no reverence for God. They claimed to know and belong to God, but they were ungodly in their thinking. And since they were ungodly in their thinking, of course, they were ungodly in their living. They go hand in hand. As is the case today, many have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. All they did was play religion, had no real fear of God, had no real love of God. And that's probably a description of about 75% of what's called Christianity in our country today. They were full of themselves, did not have spiritual character. They lacked any kind of desire to please God. All they were concerned about is pleasing themselves in the flesh. Secondly, they were deceitful. The middle part of verse number 4, they crept in unawares, literally means to slip in secretly, to steal in undercover. Sometimes Satan brings in his undercover agents by using those already inside. Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And of course, Paul and Jude here, and many of the apostles used military terms. And of course, we as soldiers, if we sleep on our watch, false brethren can sneak in. So we got to be alert. We got to be alert to those that come to make sure that there's no one spreading false doctrine. Isn't that right, Becca? We got to be alert, don't we? Yeah. All right. So Jude basically blew the trumpet, not literally, but figuratively, he blew the trumpet to sound the alarm. Teachers, wake up. Preachers, wake up. All right. And then we looked at they were enemies of grace, last part of verse 4. And we looked up several scripture. And, of course, they entered the churches to try to change doctrine and turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which is wantonness, an absence of moral restraint, indecency. Someone who is lascivious thinks only of satisfying their own lusts. And so then Peter talked about how these people are, or Peter actually warned about it happening. It was happening in Jude's time, not long after that. Peter warned that these people argue that since once saved by grace, no biggie, just same thing happened. Remember Paul in Romans, we looked at that. They promised freedom, but the kind of freedom they talked about, a freedom to sin, leads to bondage. Kind of works opposite of what one would expect. You know, we as citizens of the United States, we like our freedom, don't we? Now they're talking about taking away all the gas stoves. Thankfully, that was shot down quick. People were freaking out. Can you imagine a restaurant trying? You didn't hear about that, Scotty? Some big shot in the government decided to be an awesome idea because the asthma rate is up in children, and that's the reason, because of gas stoves. That's what he thinks. Yeah. Been gas stoves for how long? I mean, my parents had gas. My grandparents had gas. I ate chili the other night. I had gas, but I didn't cook with it.
Now that we'd get rid of.
Yeah. But, I mean, seriously, a restaurant, they gotta have gas. I mean, really? So finally, after everybody freaked out, I mean, when I say everybody, I mean the whole country was freaking out. This whoever the big shot was decided, well, maybe that's not such a good idea. It's craziness. Huh?
I said, he's probably got a big old gas oven. He can keep his.
Can you imagine, though? That's why kids are getting asthma now because of, I mean, especially restaurants, you know, what do they have over the gas stove? A gigantic, powerful hood that sucks up everything, including any gas fumes or whatever they're concerned about, carbon monoxide or whatever. Give me a break. That guy ought to stick his head in it. Never mind. Yeah. Just don't ignite it. Just. Now, I was going to say stick his head in the oven. Don't turn the pilot on. But man, I mean, that just control. I mean, now we're still in this COVID thing because they get all kinds of ways to spend money. And so the government doesn't want to stop it because, and of course, it gives them power. Yes.
One of the guys that I've sent you articles by him, all three automakers are saying they're going to stop manufacturing gasoline engines. They're only going to produce EVs. It's already a fact that less than 5% of the vehicles sold now are EV.
Right.
So what that's going to do, Toyota and Honda?
Yeah, Toyota said they're not convinced that's the way to go. They're messing with hydrogen, which is awesome, except it's extremely explosive. You don't want to be driving down the car and you disintegrate.
They're going to continue to produce gasoline-powered engines.
Do what now?
They're going to continue to produce.
Yeah. Toyota, let that be a lesson to you.
And Honda.
And Honda, too, yeah. Yeah. I mean...
So this guy had said he promised his father fought in World War II against the Japanese. He said he would never buy a German or Japanese car. He said, well, that's out the window now. I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's what my dad said, too. And I wasn't a big fan until, I mean, they make as many here as they do Japan. Yeah. I'd say probably. Now, mine is a hybrid, so it was actually made in Japan. That's why it's so good. But most of them are made here, and I forgot what I was going to say now. What was I talking about before I got into my hybrid? Huh?
You weren't a Toyota fan.
Oh yeah, until I realized. I mean, even in West Virginia, they have a Toyota. They make truck engines here in West Virginia.
Well, he pointed out that the manufacturing of EVs, the batteries, consumes as much, if not more, fossil fuels than generating, than creating a gasoline power.
Yeah, to make them.
Plus, yeah, to make them.
Yeah.
Plus, we're not talking about all the mining and stuff that goes on to get the
exactly
to make it. That's even worse.
Yeah.
The thing that he's talking about now is where are the batteries going to be taken care of? He said they're already starting to have that issue now. You can't just put those batteries anywhere.
No, you can't.
Just like nuclear waste, you can't just put that anywhere.
And it's the same with the windmills, how much energy it takes to make those crazy things. And they have a lifespan. They constantly have to be worked on. Yeah. And plus, they kill a lot of little canaries and stuff. Poor little eagles. That's why they're called bald eagles. They were just called regular eagles until they started making windmills. Now they're bald eagles. I just thought of that. It's a pretty funny, wasn't it? Wasn't that a good one? Scott, was that a good one?
That was a legit laugh. That wasn't a pity laugh.
But we're just out of our... The problem, and I'll get back in the Word of God where we belong, but we got a lot of time. The problem with the far-left radical lib Marxist freako radical nut jobs, brain-dead people, is they never look further than right now. It's kind of like a child. You know, children never think of consequences. They think of the here and now. And a lot of adults, too. They don't think of, you know, if I do this, what's that going to mean down the road? And so they come up with all these brilliant ideas. We're just going to ban gasoline engines, and we'll all be going silently down the highway, and there'll be no fumes. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, but how are you going to generate enough power for all those? And where are you going to get the stuff for the back? Seriously, never look at what's going to happen in the future. How's this going to impact us? No thought, because it was a good idea. And remember, it's not whether it works or not. It's that they tried it, and they thought of it. Absolute insanity. If, I tell you what, if Rush Limbaugh was still alive, he would be dead now. I mean, are you, boy, would he have fun. Oh, man. With Biden, oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Because he died, you know, in February of 21. Mm-hmm. So Biden had just basically gotten in. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. Man, that would have been fun. All right. Apostates, like cults today, use the word of God to promote and defend false doctrine. All right, now we're on number four. They denied God's truth. They denied God's truth. Even denying, this is the last part of verse four, even denying the Lord that bought them. Somebody tell me the major way that they would have denied the Lord that bought them.
Crucifixion.
Now I'm talking about that. Let me say it again. Even denying the Lord that bought them. So these apostates, these false teachers, denied the Lord. Of course, when the Bible says bought them, doesn't mean they were saved. That just means that he was the only means of salvation. And obviously because of their disbelief, they rejected him. But ultimately, how did they deny him?
Rejecting him as God?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, how did they do it, though? If we deny God, how do we do it, other than saying it?
By the way they live.
Yeah, they their lives demonstrate. What did Jesus say? By their fruits ye shall know them. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at some of those. Somebody look up Matthew 7:15. Who volunteers? Matthew 7:15, anybody? Anybody? Going once, going twice?
I'll do it.
Okay, Becca, you take Matthew 7:15. And Scotty, you take Acts 20, 28 through 32. We've read those before, not in this study necessarily, but we read them before, and they're powerful verses worth repeating. And then somebody read 1 Timothy 4, 1. Who will take that? 1 Timothy 4, verse number 1. Anybody?
Yeah.
All right, Colleen. And then I'm going to take the last one because we're going to be using that in explaining this verse. But what we're looking at is how an increase in the denial of the faith in the last days before the rapture occurs was predicted by Jesus, predicted by Paul, and also predicted by Paul when he wrote to Timothy. All right, so, back up.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Go just a teeny further. Oh, man, my arm is killing me. A little further.
You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Excellent. Thank you. That pretty well says it. All right, and then Acts 20:28-32. Scotty.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Amen. And Colleen, 1 Timothy 4:1.
Yeah, I'm reading from King James. Now the Spirit speaketh expressingly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
All right. And then, again, these are passages that talk about how in the end times before the rapture, the denial of the faith will increase. And it was predicted by Jesus and Paul. Paul, of course, in Acts 20 to the Ephesian elders, when he's getting ready to say goodbye, had spent about 3 years with them. He's getting ready to go. Very emotional time. And he warned them about false teachers. Jesus warned about false teachers. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1, warned about false teachers. And then Peter in 2 Peter 2 in verse number 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be. You see, he was predicting it shortly after Jude wrote about it happening. As there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then when you look at Jude, in the verse that we're looking at, verse number four, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, like I said, reading 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, even denying the Lord that bought them. So Peter warned that it would happen. Jude is saying it did happen. When Jude wrote of the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, if you notice, again, the last part of verse number 4, the Greek construction demands that it not refer to two people, but it refers to one person. So when Jude wrote the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking about Jesus Christ being God, God in the flesh. You got something you want to say? Or are you just scratching? All right. So Jude strongly taught that Jesus is God. Now, who was Jude in relation to Jesus?
Half-brother.
Now, he would probably, being a half-brother, now, of course, I know he knew the Lord, obviously. He was saved. He got saved when he saw his risen half-brother. But wouldn't he be more apt to try to separate Jesus from God the Father? I mean, in the flesh, wouldn't a half-brother kind of want to maybe not have his half-brother be quite as important as God the Father? I mean, if anybody was going to try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, humanly speaking, it would be one of his relatives. I mean, Jesus said a prophet is without honor. I mean, at home, the worst place for a prophet to go and preach, because he would be rejected more often than not, would be at home, his home area. That was just a thought popped in my mind, but it didn't go over very well. I just thought if anybody was going to. My point is that we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that. And there are a lot of reasons we know that. And this is just one of the teeny weeny ones. I kind of added to the end of the tail of the kite. That his half-brother recognized his deity and called him the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the false teachers brought error concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, especially when it came to his sovereignty and his lordship. The false teachers and the apostates rejected his lordship. Rejected his deity. Someone who denies Christ's deity, of course, is a false teacher. Even if every single other doctrine and teaching is 100% correct, if a teacher denies that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, they are to be rejected. And they're lost. One of the requirements for salvation is we must believe God is come in the flesh. Over in 1 John, And since we're so close to it, I thought we'd go ahead and read a couple of verses I know that you're familiar with. Does anybody else want to read? Billy, are you in the mood to read?
Sure.
You look like you're fired up, ready to go. 1 John 4, 1 through 6.
1 John 4, 1 through
6. Yeah. Go ahead.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Four?
Six.
Okay. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
All right, thank you. Notice how many times the word world is found. We see it in verse 3, we see it in verse 4, we see it three times in verse 5. World, 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 the system that operates under the power and dominion of Satan himself. That's what the world is. The world, the system of this world is a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting world for the most part. And so in verse number 1, John writes, and remember, John is writing probably about 30 years after Peter and Jude. And what do we find 30 years after Peter and Jude? False teachers and false apostles, false prophets. So John writes, beloved, don't put your faith in every spirit, everyone that's teaching and claims to be teaching the word of God, but test the spirits, test the teacher, like the Berean believers in the book of Acts, Acts 17. They went home and they studied, didn't they? Because if we don't study it for ourselves, and we're not assured that it's true, we're not going to have very strong convictions. We'll be easily swayed, won't we? But when we really see it for ourselves and God reveals it to us and we know what we heard is absolute truth, then we're going to stand tall, even to the point of death, if we truly believe it. Unfortunately, a lot of believers are very lazy. They don't study. They don't care to study, have no desire. And I use the term believer loosely because oftentimes they're just professing believers. But if you would ask them, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe what the preacher believes. Well, what's he believe? Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the mentality of a lot of folk. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman, that means that we're busy for God, doing whatever God calls us to do. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I've often said, if the Bible says we need to study to rightly divide the word, that means if we don't, we will not rightly divide. We'll do the opposite. We're going to mess it up. So, test, prove every teacher, every prophet. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's his humanity. Acknowledging this fact as true, believing it from the heart. If someone does not believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, born of a woman, they are a Christ denier. They're lost. You cannot be saved. Cannot. If you do not believe in the absolute humanity of Christ, you're lost, period. No exceptions. No exceptions. And there were many, and there are many now that don't believe that. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Because ultimately there will be a person who might be born already living today who is going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be an agent of the devil. He's going to be empowered by Satan himself. Until that person comes, there will be many and have been many that do the work of Satan, and they are called those that have the spirit of Antichrist, those that deny Christ, deny his deity, deny his humanity, deny his miracles, deny that he is who he claimed to be in all of the different aspects, deny that he is the only way to heaven, because the spirit of Antichrist says, there's a lot of ways to go to heaven. You just got to be sincere. Do the best you can. I mean, you're better than so-and-so, and then people start comparing themselves with other people. Well, I am. You know, I am better than Scotty. Surely I'll make it. You know what I mean? That kind of attitude. Well, that's the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So if we deny his deity or we deny his humanity, we deny Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, here in 1 John 22 and 23, he was a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, what's Christ mean?
Messiah.
The anointed one, right? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So if you deny Jesus Christ, his deity, then you also deny the Father. Because if we deny one, we deny the other, right? He is Antichrist. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So the Bible is very, very, very clear. You're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So John is saying you belong to him that is the true teacher. And that true teacher, the one that sits under the master, is one, of course, who is empowered by God himself. And, I mean, if a pastor is truly a pastor of a church, and that pastor is called by God himself, gifted by the Holy Spirit, well, then my authority is not my own. My authority comes from Christ, because I'm his under-shepherd. I work for him and will answer to him. Because greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. They are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. False teachers and apostates, false apostles, whoever, false teachers and preachers, they speak from the world's perspective, empowered by Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, the devil himself. All right, any questions so far? I got one more thing I'm going to cover, and then we'll hit the four lane. In the very first part of verse number 4, going back to Jude. The first part says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old, and this is what I want us to focus on for just a minute, ordained to this condemnation. Condemnation can be translated judgment. So why should they be judged? Number one, they denied the deity of Christ. Why should these false teachers, why should these apostates, those that turn totally against Christ and denied him? At one time they said they believed, but they truly didn't believe. They weren't born again. And now they're denying the very deity of Jesus Christ, which makes him a mere man. So what's the point of following him? Secondly, why should they be judged? Because they told others it was okay to sin habitually because they're under grace. Same lie the Roman Christians were told. Paul had to deal with in Romans 6. They told others it was okay to sin habitually because of grace. Number three, they mocked the second coming of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and chapter 3, verse number 2. I'm going to go ahead to verse 3. Knowing this first, that shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Is that true? Did everything continue from creation on? Anything happen in between there? Huh? Anybody heard of an ark? Sort of the flood that went with it? Wasn't the world destroyed with water? So I don't even know what they're talking about. See, that's what happens when you don't know the Word of God. They're just spouting off. Hey, things are just like they've always been. You keep saying Christ's coming back. He's not coming back. Nothing's changed. One thing I've noticed over the years that a lot of lost people think they're Bible experts. They're not saved. They've never studied it. They have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, if we went around acting like we were doctors or lawyers or whatever, and we're the experts, and people would laugh us out of the area, wouldn't they? But you can go around and act like you're a spiritual expert. My dad used to pull that. I told him one day, I got irritated with him. I know it's hard to believe I'd get irritated, but I got irritated with him. I said, Pa, he wanted me to call him Pa. I said, Pa, I've been studying the Bible for 35 years, and I don't know a whole lot, but I said, I've been actually studying it. I have a master's degree even. So I think I, because he would deny what I'd tell him. He said, man, I
read that Bible for decades.
Now, he never read the Bible. Maybe when he's a kid in confirmation class as a lost Lutheran. But he didn't read the Bible. He didn't have a Bible out. And so I finally, you know, had it up to like right here. And so I told him, I said, I've been studying the Bible for 35 years. At that time, it was 35 years. And I said, I think I know a little more about the Scripture than you do. It actually shut him up. Not for long, but it worked for a while. Yeah. He was something. He was a character. I loved him. I did. But he was something. He's the one. He did. I got to give him credit. Got to give my father credit. He taught me something profound. And I've told you guys, it's been a while since I told you this, but you know what the 11th commandment is. My dad taught me. The 11th commandment, anybody know it? Thou shalt know the first 10. My dad taught me that. He said, I bet you don't know this when I was a kid. I bet you don't know the 11th commandment. There's only 10. I've been in Sunday school, I know. I'm in confirmation class, and I know there's only 10. He said, thou shalt know the first 10. That's funny, Pa. Really funny. Really, really funny. So they mocked the second coming. Now, number four, they did all these things under the umbrella of religion, which made them even worse. They tried to come across as, you know, true Bible teachers. You know, serving God. They were living for the Lord. So they did all these crazy things and believed all these crazy things and taught all these crazy things, thinking they were servants of God. They did it under the umbrella of religion, making them worse. And one more. They deceived innocent people so they could take their money and enjoy it in godless living. I don't think any of that goes on today, do you? There's a two-part series on Fox Nation about this. It just popped in my mind, popped right back out. Big organization, church that started in Australia. Thank you. You're like the Fox Nation guru. Yeah, Hillsong. You know, it's a Charis Boat. You know, they're into the the rock bands and the preachers preaching the holy jeans. Anyway, their founder, he was way up in years, and his son had taken over already. Gigantic ministry. And they had churches. They went from, well, actually, they were started in Australia. They went to New Zealand, and the father was guilty of molesting children. And then the son had an affair, and I mean, just it goes on and on and on. And they were fleecing people, and anyway, and now they spread this is still going on. They're in the United States now, and this is their new target because they were, you know, they were kind of laughed out of Australia. They were laughed out of New Zealand. They're in other places around the world as well. Now they're here in the United States. They have campuses all over the place. And, but that's, you know, that's what, deceiving innocent people so they could take their money and enjoy it in godless living. And I mean, they live high off the hog. I mean, they're living in Fat City. Now, what is our response to this? I'm so glad you asked, because I think our response is back in verse number 3. Earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend to the faith. The faith there is the whole body of truth that all of us should be committed to. The whole body of truth. Not just the gospel, but the whole body of truth. And not only are we to be committed to the whole body of truth, earnestly contending for the faith, but we must pass the truth on. And this is the best kind of witnessing. Is number one, of course, living it. We cannot tell someone to believe what we don't live, because that's kind of hypocritical and it doesn't work. But we must be willing to take what we learn and pass it on. In other words, it's a daily life thing. So many, I know, we got to be careful, because when I was... For decades, we did this door-to-door thing. Decades. I mean, it was just part of every church I went, they did it, and we did it, and it never stopped until, I don't know, I've been in this area 12 years. We did a little bit of, we did do some at Berkeley, but never had any results. That was back in the early 2010, 11, 12. And we go down, especially down to, what's that trailer park down here?
Raleigh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's. I bet you get a lot of calls down there, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a pretty rough area, and we go down there to the trailer park, and we did get a lot of teens out of there. That's when Pat was working. Pat, you know Pat, yeah. McCoy was working with the teens. Had a big teen group. But anyway, so... I think the answer is, and I keep saying it, and it's true, it's people we know that we can influence and keep working on them, keep praying for them, never give up, just keep praying, keep working on them, and they get confidence in you. Maybe you can get them to come on a special day, and God gets a hold of them. I mean, but now, especially with the COVID, quote-unquote, scare, folks, definitely, they're not going to come to the door. They're just not. Most of them. All right, so we must pass the truth on. The church is only, keep this in mind, this is true. This is the same thing that Reagan used to say about our nation. We're basically one generation away from churches shutting the door. Because that's what Reagan said about our country, you know, about liberty. And I guess I'm sure the founders, probably one or more of those, said something similar as well. Cannot take liberty and freedom for granted. Because if we do, and we're getting close to losing our freedom. We are so close. Most Americans have no idea how close we are to totalitarianism. I talked to a good friend. He was in my church in Florida, my first church that I pastored in Florida. He's the only one out of there that I keep in contact with. And his wife died before Barbara did, like 2 or 3 years before. He's about four or five years younger than me. But anyway, I got to talking about, we got to talking about politics a little bit and talked about, he lives in Florida, lives in Jacksonville. And of course, Ron DeSantis is probably the greatest governor in our country at this point. Youngkin's good, but he hadn't done all yet of what DeSantis did. And I said, man, I love what he did with Disney. He said, what are you talking about? He lives right there. I said, what do you mean? You don't know? You know, the woke stuff. He said, what's woke? And he's in a church. He's in a pretty good sized church down there. He's in church every time doors are open. This guy's faithful. And I can't believe the pastor wouldn't say anything about anything. But he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about it. I had to explain the whole thing to him. Now, how many people in the United States think are in that same boat? They have no idea what's going on. Have no idea. Have no idea. They just hear the rhetoric from the Democrats. They watch CNN, and which is Clinton News Network, and they watch Rush called, MSNBC, he called it PSNBC. PMSNBC. That's right. They listen to that and they hear all these lies over and over and over again. I mean, the opposite of the truth. I mean, it's amazing. And they get away with it because most people don't have a clue. They just go along. Just having a good old time as the nation crumbles around them. At least they're getting their check for sitting home, sucking beer, sitting on the porch with their feet propped up. I love the Democrats, man. Hey, see, here's my check. I got a six-pack in the fridge and another case out in the back. I mean, it's ridiculous. So if we don't pass the church on, the truth on, we are one generation away from extinction. And God has commanded us to guard the truth. Not just to stand up, but to guard it, pass it on to our children. If we don't, if it continues like it is, we're not. Of course, the Lord's coming back soon anyway. Being a faithful soldier, and I've gone over. I never go over on Wednesday. It's 5 after. You guys owe me 5 minutes. Any questions? We won't count the times I quit early. All right, let's stand together. All right, today is the 11th, correct?
Yes.
How about that? Won't be long, it'll be Christmas. Scotty, would you pray, please?
Father God, we thank you once again for the opportunity to come here tonight to learn from your word. Thank you for the faithful preaching and pastor, and thank you for the ability to come to you and ask for help to learn these things and apply them to our lives.
Thanks, God.
You would give us the grace to extend to others, that we would build strong, healthy relationships with them, and that they would come to trust us and therefore trust you through the preaching of your word. Pray, please give us the courage to invite many and to persevere in our invitations and our studies. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See you Sunday. We're going to have us a big old time. We're going to have preachers making meatloaf, beanie weenies, green beans. What you making, Bella?
I'm making Southwest State chili.
Oh.
Groundhog surprise.
What you making, Miss Betty?
Groundhog.
Anything good? Groundhog.